And welcome back, spooky people. It's That Spooky Life, and I am your host, Miranda. Thank you for joining me again today, and I hope that you all are enjoying your December so far. I know it's always a crazy time of year, so I hope that you are going to be enjoying these special next few episodes that I have lined up. I'm really excited about some of the stories we have to share in the coming weeks. And if you need to just, you know, kick back and take a break from maybe some of the hecticness of the season, I'm glad that if this is one of those moments, you decided to share it with me. So we're going to dive right into it today, and I hope you guys are ready for some really cool stuff. My spooky story for today is one that I hadn't experienced in a while when it happened, and haven't experienced in a while since. This happened a few years ago, and to give a little backstory, I used to have a number of reoccurring dreams. I touched on one in the first episode about my grandmother, and when that one stopped happening after she passed, I had others that would also occur. And I will probably get into some of those at a later date. There's just not a lot to them, so it's not enough to be, you know, my spooky story for an episode. Maybe I'll just do an episode on some of the reoccurring dreams that I had when I was younger. I also, at different times in my life, have been a very vivid and tangible lucid dreamer. If I become aware in a dream, I can always control where it goes to an extent. Sometimes I can change it if it's getting, you know, upsetting or stressful, or I can try and guide where I'm going in the dream to get answers, to see if maybe there's something deeper here, or if it's just my super vivid imagination, etc. But there were a few of these growing up, and then they stopped happening for a while. And then there were a few other non-reoccurring dreams that happened sort of prophetically. And I usually get, I don't think anything of them because they seem to be so mundane at the time. It's not until I experience that scenario in real life that I have this weird sense of deja vu and realize that a seemingly mundane dream at the time, I had a dream about days to months to years before it actually happened. So I've had strangely premonition dreams, rarely about anything terribly important. Just like a, hey, heads up, this is a thing. And it's usually conversations with other people. Sometimes it's conversations where I know there's two paths to take, and one path will make everything explode, and one path will be what it needs to be, etc. So I've had dreams where I'm fairly certain I've had premonitions or astrally traveled somewhere before, a few of which stood out rather vividly, and there was one involving a young woman I'm fairly certain died in a car accident in New Orleans, but that one I'm saving for another day. Today I want to share a dream that I know very vividly exactly what I was seeing, and I have no questions on it, but I've never figured out where it was or why I was the one seeing it. It was a night that I was not attempting to meditate or travel or do anything special. I was just trying to sleep. And when I became aware in the dream, I was in a house in which I used to live. A little history on my interaction with this house. It was a rental property in Rome, and it had 5 bedrooms. Numerous friends of mine had gotten together to live there and split the rent, as there blessedly are no laws in Rome about how many unrelated folks can live where at which time. Having lived in Cobb County, that can be a real big problem when you're trying to split rent with some people. It was the first time the economy was tight, and we were all early to mid-20s and strapped for cash. So when a few of them went to move out, myself, my husband, and my roommate were invited to move in for everybody's bills to get a little bit better. Since moving out, one of the roommates at the time, his family moved in and are still there. I believe they were the tenants right after us, too. So in addition to spending a lot of time there before moving in, living there for multiple years, I have been back since moving out and know the people still inhabiting it to this day. This covers, I think, more than 10 years at this point. There are railroad tracks behind the house, literally touching the backyard. Trains still go through there, too. It's on a cul-de-sac, and while there are neighbors to one side and across the street, there are none behind or to the other side, just woods. The backyard has always had a crazy vibe, like you don't want to be out there after dark. And next door, there was an elderly man that until we realized it was an elderly man on the back porch next door, sounded as though the neighbors had trapped a zombie that groaned quite often. The oddity of this was that whatever was going on health-wise with this man, he had at least moments of lucidity. As I saw him one morning shuffling out to chase the deer out of his yard, screaming racial slurs and obscenities. That's right, racial slurs at deer. I'm not sure what he was hoping to accomplish or thought was happening, but he was very clear in the things that he was saying, so it was a weird morning. So we all mostly believed that he had moments of lucidity and was suffering some degenerative disease, but there was always the question of whether or not he was also just messing with us, which was equally as likely. There was no actual zombie, but most of us still felt sort of repelled from going out in the backyard, specifically at night. Sure, we'd mow the grass, but even the most agnostic of us didn't like the backyard after dark. It was just creepy. Inside the house wasn't much better. Specifically in the rooms that shared a door with the outside to the back. There was like a second living room den area that was always kind of spooky. And the bathroom off the master suite downstairs, we always joked was the quote murder bathroom. Though the white light bulbs didn't help much with that sort of ambiance, and I'm not sure why they were ever changed to the crazy like white LED bulbs, because it really just was not a good vibe in there. That, and while I kept my room warded, smudged, and cleansed best that I could, that many grown people in a house just stirs energetic shit up while people are finding themselves and working through depression and just life in general. I'm also pretty sure one of the friends we lived with conjured things there. Not maliciously, but just like messing about. I have no proof of that, but there are some impressions and memories that leave me wondering quite often. Needless to say, finding myself in that house in a dream was not really that odd. I came into the dream in the creepy den, staring down the hallway, and there were people yelling. The argument was loud and growing in intensity, like I'd just come in sort of at the beginning of it, but it had still started happening before I arrived. But I couldn't interact. I was not part of the argument. I was just an invisible observer. But then I started to realize I didn't think this was actually that house. It looked like it, but I kept getting flashes of bad, orangey, like 70s wood paneling on the walls, of which that house had none, at least at the time I was there. And there was a closet across from the first floor bathroom that was the under the stairs area. So there were aspects that seemed right, but it really kind of felt like my mind was imposing the house that I knew on top of wherever that I was to give it like a sense of familiarity, or my brain couldn't like differentiate, or I was seeing it from the past. I don't know. The closet had room to hang coats, but we mostly used it just for like tub storage and things like that. And it was drawing my attention for no immediately discernible reason. The people having the argument were not my previous roommate's family. I have never seen them before, never seen them again. It was a young blonde woman and a younger thin man who, while they looked fine, I got the impression of maybe drug use at some point. There was also someone else in the house, a mother that I was not seeing, and I'm not sure whose mother it was, but I think it was the young woman's. While I was starting to understand that what I was seeing was not the house as it was now, either from a previous time, or this was not at all the house in which I lived, but similar enough, the closet started to swing open slowly under its own volition in that, like, paranormal activity horror movie style with the creak and everything. It was terrible. I got, like, my first spike of anxiety. I was like, wait a minute, this is not good. The arguing man and woman, who were now becoming very physical, throwing things and full-on screaming, did not notice this event at all. When it was open enough that I could see something inside, I really wish that I hadn't looked. There was a figure, full on, size of a full grown man, 6 feet, definitely taller than me, wide shoulders. It was very human in shape, but that is where the similarities kind of cease. The figure was black, kind of like a charred corpse. No lips to cover its teeth, no eyelids, despite the teeth and eyes being what appeared to be perfectly intact, if a bit yellowed. It had no hair anywhere, but was covered in what looked like neon green, vine-looking, throbbing veins from head to toe. No surface of its form was exempt from these coverings, and it seemed as it began to move out from the closet towards the arguing couple, the veins throbbed larger, like more potently. It was super obvious that the spirit thing was feeding on the couple's argument or the couple or whatever they were doing. In the dream, I was completely horrified and I was full on just like frozen in fear. And I watched until I was able to jolt myself out of the shock to try and stop them. But I passed right through the woman and couldn't do anything. I remember she paused and said, "What the hell?" unrelated to the argument. But the spirit reached out and closed its hand and they were right back to arguing. Like, she had noticed I passed through her, but whatever the spirit was doing to charge this argument basically completely overtook it. It was crazy. I zoomed around the house, like, as fast as I could, and I mostly verified that it wasn't actually the house I'd lived in. Like, I would try and zoom around the house that I knew and would run into walls where I expected there to be doors and more of that like weird 70s wood paneling, and I'd have paused to try and get a better mental image, but I was in a panic. This was horrible and I just had a very bad feeling, and I was looking for the mother to try and help them. I remember I knocked something over that resulted in a woman opening a door, but I'm unclear on details as I discovered the spirit had noticed and was looking at me as soon as she did, basically. I got some really bad, just upsetting impressions from this thing immediately. Like, it wasn't focusing its power on me, so I wasn't even getting the full blast of it, but even just its attention had like a hammerfall effect of greed, gluttony, overindulgence to the point of death. Like, these things it could inspire in people, then it would feed off the destruction this created, like the argument I was seeing. I also got the very, very clear impression that it had killed people in this manner before, and it was now looking at me, because it had noticed that I was there, even though no one else really had. So, awesome. That was just complete terror, and it was now coming towards me. So, I panicked, unprepared as I was for literally any of this, and in my lucid dreaming started to try and startle myself awake. It took a minute and it got real close to me, but it never actually touched me, and I finally woke myself up, and it's like 4 a.m. I turn on my bedside lamp, I pulled out my sketchbook and I drew the thing so I wouldn't forget it in the morning. As I'm recording this, I don't exactly know where that sketch is off the top of my head, but if I can find it, I will post it to Instagram so that you guys can see it. I drew it out, I colored it, because the color was really important, like that weird neon green bleh sort of thing that sort of like took over everything else. Like, I just remembered green and black and no lips and no eyelids. It was terrible. But I finally got back to sleep after I had something to drink, like water and probably a cigarette or something. And I didn't dream of it again that night. And I have never dreamed of it again since. Even when I have tried to like go back into the dream and figure it out, I was seeing a moment in time that was happening actively, I believe. And because it was over, I cannot go back to that. So it was such a crazy, vivid experience that I have never forgotten that. And seeing what I think of as like a spirit of deadly greed actively feeding from a family that I didn't know where they were or how I could help them was really a quite nightmarish experience. Because whenever I see people suffering or people having something like that happen, I'm compelled to help. And I was there and I was seeing these things and I was the only one who could see what was going on. And I have no idea what happened to them. I have never been able to find them again. Like, I would know the lady, the mother, if I saw her again. I might know the girl and the guy. Once I saw that spirit of greed, certain details just fled from me because I couldn't see or remember like anything else. I would know the house. If I walked into the house with the bad 70s paneling, I would probably have that weird sense of deja vu and know that I'd been there and could probably find them from there. But like, Let's talk about the likelihood of that actually happening. I don't know, man. It was a crazy experience, and it always left me wondering, why me? Why did that happen? Where did I go? What tie or what thing pulled me there that I should see that and have to sort of watch this passion play and not be able to do anything without warning? Because I absolutely panicked. I really did. And this was, God, probably 4 years ago at this point. It's been a minute. I don't know. It's just one of those mysteries that I may never actually get to solve. And that kind of makes me sad. But also at the same time, like, sweet, I don't ever have to deal with that thing again. But also at the same time, that thing probably shouldn't be in that house. Like, I'm all for live and let live, but like, go somewhere else, please. That's just rude. And that is my spooky story for this week. Our listener story today comes from a second time submitter. It's Astrid. Yay. Hi, Astrid. I hope you're doing well. Thank you for sending in another story. I have been asking her about her role in life as a cleaner, and it is just so fascinating to me. As you guys know from last week, I have been sick for a solid week and a half now, and there's some emails and stuff that I need to reply to and continue these conversations. But I am super happy to be able to share another one of her stories with you today. I thought it was kind of also on brand with like a spirit of deadly greed in a house, since she tends to kick things like that out of houses. So, Astrid writes, "Thank you for sharing my experience. Also, a tip for keeping a home safe is mineral water or seawater, preferably in a natural bowl. As natural as we can get in this synthetic world, lol. I have another story that is actually an explanation of the way my childhood home was the way it was. Here we go." Thank you for that tip on housekeeping, by the way. Energetic and protective housekeeping. Always, always a plus. This is a long one, I'm sorry, but there's a lot of backstory. I will try and condense it as much as I can. I love long stories. Please send all the long stories any of you guys have. They make me so happy. So my family moved from a small little area between Omaha and Bellevue, Nebraska, where the corn was deep-rooted and so was the history, LOL. When we moved from this small town, we moved to another small town in Washington State. The first home we moved into was warm and loving, even with my hectic family. This was the home my family grew close in, and the home I truly felt like was a home. Alas, all good things come to an end, and after that first year, my mom wanted to live with just her, my two nephews, my sister, and me. We moved into a three-bedroom duplex that was built in the late 50s. The feeling of this home was much different from the first. Our first night, we had someone yell at us to leave at the top of their lungs and let off 5 shots into the ground. Well, about 2 months of us living in this home, I started to have experiences in my bedroom. Wait. I have a question. Had someone yell at us to leave at the top of their lungs and let off 5 shots into the ground? Was this like a physical person, like a real person? Or was this a ghost? Because like, it's one thing if it's a ghost and you're like, oh shit, that was scary. But like, it's a completely different thing if that's a real person. Like, you might want to move. Because no, I don't need neighbors like, nobody needs neighbors like that. That's rude as hell. Anyway, sorry. I just realized, I was like, oh, and then we move on to, you know, home experiences in the bedroom. No, I need more explanation on that, girl. Okay, so where was I? Okay, about 2 months of us living in this home, I started to have experiences in my bedroom. I was a young, budding lady, and so I got my own room, which was the smallest room of the house. This room was originally an office and was redesigned in the late 70s, so it was fake wood walls. Ooh. I didn't catch that detail before. I didn't catch that detail before when I was pairing up stories. Ooh. Fake wood walls, and in the middle of the night, I would stare into the closet because I always felt like I was being watched from that direction. Hopefully it wasn't a spirit of deadly greed. Ew. About a month after that feeling started, I would see small creatures crawl from the top part of the closet doorway and across my walls. Nope. Oh no. No, 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 no. Nope, that's a no. That's a hard no from me. These things had no really distinguishable features other than they were pitch black. The only reason I knew they were this black was because they were extremely darker than the wood paneling. Only to find out years later, all three of the kids, both of my nephews and myself, saw these creatures, but we had never spoken about it until recently. I am 4 years older than my oldest nephew and 8 years older than my youngest. I first saw them at 12. My oldest nephew saw them shortly after he moved into the room at 11, and my youngest nephew saw them at 15 after his brother traded to the bigger room. This was not the only occurrence in this home. We would hear noises in the attic, things would be moved, and once I had a friend just abruptly leave and never speak to me again after visiting my home. Ooh, that's rough. You have to wonder what they saw. There was also what the entire family called, quote, the faces. I'm gonna pause for a second here, because just what an entire family calls, quote, the faces, does not sound like a good time at all. Those bastards would show up at the peak of creepiness. Once I was laying in bed texting a friend when I turned on my side in the dim light of my phone, a face rushed at me from the left side, which was a wall. I hopped up and turned on a light and saw nothing. Their favorite thing to do was bug anyone on the computer, which was in our living room, after midnight. I guess it's nice that they're punctual. I remember sitting and messing with coding on MySpace and seeing a short, stout man walk down the hallway, bend over at the waist, putting his hands on his knees, and leaning into my face. Nope. Nuh-uh. Hell no. After a while, I stopped jumping and screaming when it happened. Years passed, I've moved in and out of this house a lot over the 14 years my family has lived in this home, and every time I move back in, I gain a new experience. Well, in 2017, my mother calls me and asks me to come over. She found something in this hole in the back of her bathroom cabinet. Oh, no. My mother was a cleaner, but after she was diagnosed with ovarian cancer, she stopped because cleaning can take a lot of energy and vibes, and she needed all she had to focus on healing from her illness. Amen. Smart lady. I support this 1,000%. When she called me, she sounded panicked. My mother isn't a panicking type, so I asked her what was up, but she wouldn't tell me over the phone. She just kept saying, "No, honey, you need to see this to believe this." So, I grabbed my friend, who was interested in the cleaner path, and we drove down to my mom's house. Always take backup, never split the party. When I walked in, I knew something was disturbed because the air was thick, and I felt the hair on my arms rise. It got worse the deeper into the house I went, to the point that I felt like I was going to be sick. When I finally find my mom in her room, she hands me an old leather bag that has almost a shifting bead-like sound coming from it. Hell no! Oh my god, that's a hex bag. She looked me in the eyes and asked me to clean her home and get rid of this bag. I opened it, and inside this bag was a long black hair, a short brown hair, a clump of red wax, and about 8 human teeth in it. Now what shocked me was that they were adult teeth. If you have ever dealt with a hex bag, yep, that's exactly what that is. If you have ever dealt with a hex bag before, this was simple but effective hex that held spirits in the home. I poured as much salt as I could into the bag and placed it outside. I burned my mom's dried white sage and dried lavender and rosemary. It felt lighter in the house, but this was years of bad that soaked into the walls, so it was calmed but not forced out. When done with the formal goodbyes, my friend and I head for the bay. Without a second thought, I chucked that bag into the ocean. Moving water is a great cleaner for hexes, and the ocean is in constant motion. There's still a festering sore on the aura of that house, but now I clean it once a month and have planted lavender by the door. To this day, you can still hear things move in the walls. We've all convinced ourselves it's an opossum, but every time I hear it, I feel uneasy. The next experience I will tell you about is when I found out that negative emotions like addiction can create their own entity. Oh my god. First of all, that story. Like, a fucking hex bag, are you serious? That, like, yeah, sure, it's super simple, but, like, that's 8 human teeth. Where did they come from? Second of all, who the fuck put it there? Like, what? That is insane. I'm just glad you live near the ocean, because I feel like the ocean is the only thing that could get rid of that shit. Second of all, the next experience you will tell us about is when you found out that negative emotions like addiction can create their own entity. Is that poltergeist? Like, is that like a PK entity or something like that? Because I know that those can come off if you have a bunch of like negativity in the house, specifically from somebody who's like sensitive or whatever. But like, I can't wait to hear that story. I'm the one, like, I'm recording this podcast and I'm sitting here going, well, I'm staying tuned for more. Thank you, Astrid. This story is incredible. That is insane. I hope your mom is doing well. I have no doubt that with your continued persistence that eventually you can probably heal the energetic wound that is in that location. And thank you. That is a creepy story. And I hate that you guys had to basically suffer for so long until you found the source of it. But I'm really glad that you did finally find the source, because that's insane. So in closing today, in addition to Astrid's wonderful techniques on helping keeping a home safe and even some of the cleansing techniques she used in her story, I would like to talk a little bit, very high-level stuff, about what ghosts are. You know, there's residual hauntings, which is residual energy, usually caused by an emotional event taking place or a traumatic event taking place. And sometimes an intelligent entity can be trapped in those patterns as well. But what is the intelligent entity? There are many beliefs in many religions and many practices over the millennia that believe there's more than just one part to your soul. And that when a soul moves on, the eternal part goes wherever it's going, either back into a cycle or to an afterlife, even for a time. Sometimes they believe that immortal part comes back to be reincarnated into a new person. But the fundamental part of the soul that makes you you in this lifetime is the one that can get stuck behind sometimes, especially if there are fractures or damage caused by trauma and traumatic events and things like that. And ghosts usually come from rapid violent death, but that's not the only time. There is a situation that I am being kept apprised of where, bless his heart, there is apparently an elderly man haunting a couple that his wife had passed on, and he basically died of a broken heart. But because apparently they were either well enough off that nobody thought to check, or he didn't have any close relatives enough to find out, he was dead in his house for a very long time before his body was found. And it seems that the folks who have moved into the house after him are experiencing him. And he doesn't seem to like the fact that there are changes being made to his house and things like that. So I don't know if because it took so long for him to be found, or he just doesn't realize that he died. It's not just trauma that can basically create intelligent entities. It's not just violence or things like that. Those certainly can and oftentimes do. But you have to think about the fact that if you're certain that there's a haunting and you see an intelligent being or feel them or are experiencing them, you know, maybe it wasn't the fact that somebody was murdered in your house. Maybe somebody was just forgotten. I always try to keep those types of things in mind, approaching situations with empathy from the get-go until I'm given reason to believe that it may be dangerous or violent or something like that. Things that go bump in your house might not be ghosts, and you never know. So it's just always good to, if you're in a situation where you're experiencing something strange happening, you know, keep your senses sharp, keep your mind open, and maybe you find a hex bag under your counter. Who knows? Like, stranger things have happened. So that's my little bit of witchy wisdom for this week. If you guys have any stories that you would like to share, please feel free to send them in. I love reading all of you guys' submissions. I always need them right now. You're pretty much, as I usually say, guaranteed to get in the episode at this point. Next week, I have a little bit of a different episode for you, because my experience is actually entwined with the experience of the submitter. So I'm excited to share that with you guys. Please send any listener stories you would like me to share to thatspookylifepodcast@gmail.com. Also be sure to follow me on Instagram @thatspookylifepodcast. I like to post little quotes and maybe little tarot card pulls and, you know, generally spooky thoughts. And if I can find it, things like the greed spirit that I drew in that I shared in the stories today. So Also, feel free to hit me up on social media if there's something that you would like me to talk about. Ghosts, other types of spirits, crazy premonition dreams, anything that you have an interest in that's on the spookier or witchier side of life, feel free to let me know. And yeah, I love hearing from you guys. So until next week, I hope you guys are doing well and staying warm. And until then, keep living that spooky life. Bye.